Good afternoon. It's just after 6 o'clock, and you're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. This is your weekly source for what's happening in your world here on the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinik, and I'm joined in the studio today by a few people. First off is Sarah Sauter. She's the Executive Director at the Conservation Center.
Hello.
I'm also joined by two graduate students at CU Boulder. The first one is Joanna Gordon. She's a PhD candidate in the field of mechanical engineering.
Nice to be here.
And I'm also joined by Ashley Collier, who's also at CU Boulder. She's a master's candidate in environmental engineering.
Glad to be here, too.
Thank you all so much for joining us here today on Local Motion. Our guests here this evening are involved in a study on air quality in the North Fork Valley being conducted in collaboration with the University of Colorado at Boulder, the Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, and the Delta County School District. On the University of Colorado end, these researchers have been developing low-cost, user-friendly air quality monitoring devices. The plan is to use them to track air quality in the valley for a period of 1 year in order to get a baseline idea of what the quality is of our air here in the valley. First off, I'm going to throw this question out to any of you or all of you. Could one of you perhaps tell us briefly about the origins of this particular project? Where did the idea initially stem from? And I guess more importantly, why are we conducting this air quality study here in the valley?
Well, this is Sarah, and I could probably start that off and then I'll kick it over to you guys. We received notice of a grant, actually, through the EPA and National Jewish Health. And it was a small education outreach grant to look at human health impacts related to air quality. And so we thought it was a perfect opportunity to look into collecting baseline air monitoring data in the North Fork Valley. Through some local connections, we were put in touch with some individuals over at CU Boulder and able to tie into what is a pretty phenomenal and massive study that they have going on. So I think it's pretty amazing that our little valley can be a part of something that is really big and expansive in scope and is going to provide some wonderful data.
Yeah, tell us about that bigger study that's going on. I mean, it's a $12 million research project or network of projects going on, and this is one facet of it. So what is the larger scale sort of a goal or focus of that project?
I might just clarify that this project really we consider to be an offshoot of the broader effort, but, you know, very helpful to that effort. Also, I think what you guys are referring to is the Sustainability Research Network grant, termed Air, Water, Gas. It's a National Science Foundation-funded investigation on natural gas in almost any way you can think about. Mm-hmm. How does it affect air quality? How does it affect water quality? Mm-hmm. How does it affect water quantity? How does it affect jobs being produced? How does the use of natural gas, say in the production of electricity, affect our air quality if we use, say, natural gas in lieu of coal? So we're really trying to, with this grant, take a really holistic look at natural gas in a system. And I might also add there are a lot of collaborators at a lot of different institutions. There's 26 researchers plus all their graduate students working on this problem. And so, you know, I think it's really cool to be part of such a complete study.
So, Joanna, do you and or you, Ashley, do y'all have backgrounds in doing this kind of air quality monitoring research?
We both have backgrounds that are a little bit different. I'll let Ashley discuss.
Sure. So I did a much smaller version of this study last year in Denver, in downtown Denver, and this is sort of an expansion of that. And if I may add on to the last question we were just discussing, so one of our main goals as part of the larger SRN grant is tool development and developing low-cost tools which we can use to answer those questions about natural gas development. And this project here in the North Fork Valley gives us the opportunity to work on the citizen science aspect of our tools and also improve our tools by adding some more capacity. For instance, we're trying to add the ability of our tools to speciate between natural gas and gasoline emissions.
So sort of fine-tuning the technology while getting citizen scientists involved, is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. A long-term goal of the technology is citizen science. They're incredibly easy to operate. They're low cost. So working with the local high school students and possibly some citizen scientists will give us feedback which we can use to improve the technology.
So at the risk of maybe being too mundane, what is a citizen scientist?
To us, a citizen scientist can be anybody who is trained properly and can go out on a regular basis and do a good job of collecting the data, follow the instructions and the methods. And it's usually pretty easy and something that anybody can do. That's something that the Conservation Center has been involved with since 2001 with our River Watch program. We've collected monthly water quality data all the way since 2001. And I think we might have more data on the North Fork than both the USGS and the state of Colorado. So this was a very natural extension of our monitoring project to air monitoring. And we do have a couple of citizens from around the valley located at different key locations that are helping us in addition to the students.
So how much of an emphasis in this project is on the actual gathering of the air quality data and archiving it versus, like you said, sort of encouraging this citizen involvement in this type of research?
So I would say that our goals are pretty much split equally three ways. We will have a system of monitors out in the valley 24/7 for an entire year collecting data. And we will also have additional monitors. We'll have one located at Paonia High School, one at Cedar Edge High School, and one at Hotchkiss High School, also one at the Conservation Center. And these will be for the high school students to carry out their own studies. They'll be available for use by citizens, etc. So, and then the third goal would be, as I mentioned before, trying to push the capacity of our monitors. So we're really, I think, taking an equal effort at each of those.
Like y'all have said, one of the goals here is to sort of establish a baseline measurement for what's in our air, what our air quality is like here in the valley and in Delta County. And I'm wondering, is that because we don't have that information yet? Is that the case?
That is correct. There have been no studies in the North Fork Valley up until now, and typically air quality studies don't take place in a small rural community like the North Fork Valley. Typically they take place in big cities that have lots of funds to carry out larger projects.
Going into this study, do you have any sort of sense of what you might find in our air, or do you have any specific facets of what's in our air that you're looking for in this data?
So all of the monitors have CO2 sensors. That's carbon dioxide. I'm sure people are familiar with that one. We also have NO2 sensors. That's nitrogen dioxide. And that can come from, it's typically emitted during combustion. So vehicles are a major source. We are also monitoring ozone. Ozone, I'm sure you've heard about. It's a major health concern. That's the reason for that one. And methane, which can be emitted from, it can be emitted from oil and gas activity, methane venting from the coal mines, but also from biogenic sources. Ranching is a major source of methane also. In addition to those compounds, we will be looking at VOCs, as I mentioned, volatile organic compounds. And because there are literally hundreds of volatile organic compounds, and currently our sensors are set to measure total VOCs. But in some cases, that's not that useful because some are absolutely harmless. For example, the smell of pine trees, that's a VOC, but it's harmless. Whereas the smell of gasoline, some of that's benzene, toluene, those compounds can be harmful and even carcinogenic. So we're trying to push our monitors to tell the difference between natural gas and gasoline vapors, or in other words, lighter VOCs and heavier VOCs. Our expectations right now are that the air quality will be fairly good. There are no huge emission sources. There's a little bit of methane venting from the coal mines, but other than that, there's not a lot of traffic. There's no coal-burning power plants. However, there are some instances, and maybe Joanna could talk about this a little bit, where sometimes you see high ozone in rural areas, and this is actually kind of a new phenomenon that scientists are still trying to figure out exactly when it happens and why it happens. So we're anticipating it'll be pretty good, but there may be anomalies.
There's actually two instances that have been relatively recently discovered where we've seen really high ozone where we would not expect it. Usually ozone occurs in the summertime because in order to produce ozone, we need some chemistry to take place. Ozone is not something that is directly emitted from an emission source.
How do you mean some chemistry? What kind of chemistry taking place do you mean?
Sure. So basically what I mean by that is you need the right ingredients all in the same place at the same time. And those ingredients for ozone are NOx emissions, which you can get from really high temperatures, such as combustion, or even lightning can actually produce NOx.
Mm-hmm.
You just need enough energy to separate the diatomic nitrogen that exists naturally in the atmosphere, and then that can go and bond with oxygen. You also need volatile organic compounds, and those can come from trees, or they can come from lots of other sources that are not necessarily natural, like paint fumes, or many hydrocarbons are volatile organic compounds. The third ingredient that you need is sunlight, actually, to initiate this reaction. And that gets to explaining why we really often see ozone in the summertime, and summertime midday, to be exact.
Yeah.
Usually we see a diurnal pattern in ozone. Anywhere that we go, really, we see that. So actually, we're really interested to see the ozone here because basically we're really interested in ozone in general. There's interesting chemistry that is not fully understood.
So do we have any reason to believe that we have the conditions in the North Fork Valley here or in Delta County that are ripe for having these oddly high ozone levels, or do we just not know yet?
You know, this is something that is really newly discovered. One thing I would say about the North Fork Valley, and locals would know this a lot better than I, but if you have wind coming through a valley, it is a valley here, so that's mm-hmm. one thing you would need. It does snow here in the winter, so that's another thing you would need to have this wintertime effect. You would also need that air to be really stagnant, you know, not blowing up and down the valley, which seems to be the normal trend here, which keeps the air clean, basically. It flushes out anything that might be building up here. Right. The other thing about this valley is that, you know, there's not a lot of emissions of either NOx or volatile organic compounds. I mean, you'll have some organic compounds, volatile organic compounds, just from forests. But you don't have a lot of NOx emissions here. So, you know, I wouldn't expect there to be an ozone problem here.
I want to ask you a quick question that maybe you don't have the answer to, but I'm curious about what you said about methane can be emitted from ranching. We hear, at least in the valley, you know, the ranching activities that go on are, you know, pretty small scale. In other parts of Western Colorado, they're pretty large scale. But can we measure significant amounts of methane even from small scale ranching activities?
Actually, I should have an answer for you soon. We're locating one of our monitors at Desert Ware. And we're going to have one of our infrared methane sensors there. So, I mean, that's a relatively small ranching operation. So we're hoping that our monitors are sensitive enough to pick up increases in smell levels, which we would anticipate would occur there.
So where did the idea come from for involving the Delta County schools with this project? And what's the goal behind that? What's the initiative there?
Well, I can speak to my part of it. I thought that this was a great opportunity to provide our students and teachers the opportunity to get involved with the professional research project, since especially in Delta County, we are far away from a campus or campuses that have a lot of research. We just don't have the exposure and the opportunities, and so this just seemed like the really perfect opportunity. We were able to get a hold of Ben Graves, the teacher over at Paonia, and make some other contacts, and really excited to see what this turns out to be. Ultimately, this could be professional development and job skills for some of our local students to go on in their careers.
Are the students going to be directly involved with the study as it's going on now, or do they just sort of have the opportunity to work with this data later on? How are the schools exactly going to be involved with this project?
Yesterday, we spent all day at Paonia High School, and we did some lectures and demos with the students, and we got a couple classes involved in helping us actually set the equipment up. So we're sort of taking them along every step of the way. So the next couple visits will still be set up and teaching them about calibration and how the equipment works, and then hopefully in January, February, we'll help them design their own studies, and we're also going to make the data from the stationary outdoor ambient stations available for them to work with.
I was going to ask you about that, too. When this project is done, I guess at the end of the year, not really done then necessarily, but when the year-long study is complete and you have all this data, are you then going to sort of guide the students or advise them on how they can use this in research, or is that up to them?
We would definitely like to provide some guidance, just because it is going to be such a large quantity of data. So it might be overwhelming to them. So we feel it'd be beneficial if they kind of have some options of directions they can go. But also, on the flip side, they live in this community, so they know what their concerns are. So they can ask us questions, and we can teach them how they can answer those questions using the data we've collected.
Students, I'll just add to that. Students have had really great ideas. I mean, we just asked them, absolutely, what would you be interested in studying with these tools? And I mean, I think pretty much they just listed off in a class this afternoon. They listed off every interesting thing that would come to my mind. So, you know, it's really
and
impressive.
Some extra.
Yeah, some extra things. So, yeah, the teachers and the students seem like they are going to be really great to work with.
So they seem generally enthused about it, or at least interested in what's going on with the project?
I think yes. And especially on this first visit, we tried to not just lecture at them, but we tried to... what we did was we took one of the monitors into the classroom and collected data while we were presenting, and then we showed them that data at the end of class and discussed it. And I think they were very responsive to seeing how we can collect this air quality data, and the minute we want to, we can look at it and see what it says. The instantaneous response of the technology, mm-hmm, they responded well to.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. We're talking about the year-long North Fork air quality study that's being conducted in collaboration with the University of Colorado at Boulder, the Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, and the Delta County School District. And we're joined on the line now by Paonia High School science teacher Ben Graves. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Travis.
So you're pretty directly involved with the student end of this project, I'm assuming. What's going to be your role as this study gets underway?
I think my primary role is facilitating my students in developing some research projects. I have a number of classes that will be involved in this project. My chemistry classes will be interested in inquiring about the different particles that make up our air and the different proportions of those particles that are out there, and how do they get out there and what do they do when they're in the air. So we're going to be doing some laboratory activities and hopefully having the students design some investigations to monitor the chemistry of our air. My AP environmental science students will be much more involved in the study and will be both checking the equipment and monitoring, working with Ashley to do some of that monitoring, but also designing their own investigations about air quality in our valley. So they're going to be really involved in the project.
So it sounds like you sort of have a curriculum already in mind based around this study.
Yeah, I mean, as a teacher, you're constantly inventing things as you go along, and it's exciting to work with Ashley and her group and to get some great ideas about ways that I can engage these students in research. That's my primary aim as a science teacher, is to teach science as science is done, and not through textbooks and through, you know, made up investigations that are like cookbooks, but more like scientists actually look at data, ask questions about that data, and then decide where and when and how to take more data.
Keeping science fun, as Sarah was just telling us.
Yeah.
So we were also just talking about the students' response to this project, uh-huh, and I guess, you know, more importantly, so their ideas for what they can do with this project. What kind of feedback have you gotten from them so far?
Yeah, today we had a great session in both my chemistry and environmental science classes with Mike and Ashley and Joanna, brainstorming some ideas about what we could investigate in the community. And the students came up with a couple ideas involving their vehicles and the different types of vehicles. But they also had some questions about things that happen in our community day-to-day, things like ditch burning that comes up in the fall. And they were wondering about the ditch burning and what effect that might have on the community and whether the sensors could actually pick that up. And that was a question that Mike was really interested in and said, hey, we can study it. We're not out here to decide, to prescribe what's right and what's wrong, but as scientists, to just inquire and to take data. So
now I'm going to back up and throw this question out to any of you. Like you said, you know, here in the North Fork Valley, we don't necessarily have, you know, a huge amount of emissions. You know, a little bit of methane from the coal mines, maybe, and like you said, some natural things in the air from forests. But as I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware, there has been some pretty heated debate about the potential future of energy development in the North Fork Valley, and especially with regards to natural gas. So when this study is over, I mean, how do you think that this this data is going to play into that discussion?
Well, I think it's important to know that the recent discussion dialogue about natural gas in the valley helped kind of prompt the grant, knowing that there is a new industry that might be taking place. And that really just underscores the need to collect baseline monitoring data so that we can know if there is a change indeed that is happening as a result of any sort of change of land use or industrial activity. So that kind of was the catalyst to get this whole thing started and to get everybody involved. But as you said, there is not a ton of development at this point. And we're not necessarily expecting to point fingers with anything in this data. It's just what is going on out there.
I think what's most interesting to me as a teacher is I like this idea of democratizing science and saying that, is it the government? Is it the local air quality monitoring or the Oil and Gas Commission? Is it their responsibility to collect data about our valley, or is it our responsibility? And that's what I really like to do with my students, is to encourage them as citizens to take an active role in what's happening in their community. And we're not taking a political role. We're not saying should we or should we not, but it's saying what can we monitor, and then how can we involve students and the community members in doing that monitoring? I think that's what's most exciting for me.
So in some ways, I guess this study and this data that we're gathering is just sort of an essential component to the debate about the future of energy development in the valley that we need before we can carry on with it. Is that the idea?
I would
wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. I just want to emphasize, because a lot of people have been, you know, my students are really interested in this, and it's a hot button issue in our community of oil and gas development, and that I don't think that that's the primary aim of this project. And I see the primary aim as being a citizen science, as being a technology and an engineering problem of saying what could happen when we get these sensors out to schools and to community members, and what are the questions that we can start asking, and that oil and gas is an interesting topic to discuss, but that's not necessarily the aim of the study, because I understand my school community that definitely is an issue that, you know, I don't like to politicize science. And when we start talking about what we should and shouldn't do, starts to politicize the science. And I think this is science at its best. It's what is out there and what can we monitor and how do we know what is there? And that's kind of what I wanted to emphasize, or at least make sure it was mentioned.
I just wanted to quickly add on to Ben's comment about democratizing science. And that is a long-term goal, the use of these monitors in citizen science applications. We know that people have questions, and the EPA can't get around to everybody's question, but if we can get these monitors in the hands of citizens, they can begin to answer their own questions about their environment. So really empowering people to learn about their environment and not rely on sort of centralized monitoring systems.
So as much as this project is about gathering data, it sounds like it's also about education to some degree.
Absolutely. Increasing the public's awareness of their environment, getting data into their hands so they can see the impact that they're having, the impact that we're all having, whether that's good or bad.
If you're just joining us, you've been listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. We've been talking about the year-long air quality study that's taking place in the North Fork Valley in collaboration with the University of Colorado at Boulder, the Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, and the Delta County School District. I've been joined in the studio today by Sarah Sauter. She's the executive director at the Conservation Center. I've also been joined by two graduate students from CU Boulder, Joanna Gordon, who is a PhD candidate in mechanical engineering, and Ashley Collier, who's a master's candidate in environmental engineering. And we had Paonia High School science teacher Ben Graves on the line just a few minutes ago. So thanks to all of you for coming in. I really appreciate you telling us about this study.
Thanks a lot, Travis.
Thank you.
See you. See ya.
And you have been listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. This is your weekly source for what's happening in your world here on the Western Slope. Remember, if you missed any of today's episode or you'd like to hear old episodes, just visit our website at kvnf.org. Stick around for The Treatment coming up next.